John chapter 4, one of my favorite accounts. Christ meets a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, and I've titled this word, Jacob's Well. We're going to read verse 5 through verse 14. I'm going to allude to some of the other verses. I'd hope you'd read this chapter, or at least this account of the woman at the well. Starting in verse 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It seems that religious folks, you know, I love to pick on religious folks. There are a lot of religious folks. I was thinking about, I was laying in bed early this morning in the dark hours, thinking of all the religious folks. Mormons and Muslims and Catholics and Baptists and all these religious folks. And they all have some idea of a religion. The thought also came to me, I'll give you this, won't cost you anything. I'm always thinking, well, it's now more than 2,000 years since Christ, but it's not. Did you know that? Christ lived to be 33 years old. So it's not going to actually be 2,000 years until 2033 or thereabouts. What's going to happen then, I don't know. I don't even know if I'll be here. That's just how my mind works. And it seems that religious folks, they're always willing to draw water for the Lord. Now I want you to think about that. And you think, well, isn't that a good thing? They're always willing to draw water for the Lord, but they're hesitant always to seek the living water from the Lord. And there's reason for that. Because as this Samaritan woman, and you go on to read the account in John 4, you find that he told me all I ever did. Most folks don't want that. Especially religious folks. You see? He might tell you all that you ever did. So they'll be happy to get the Lord to drink. They'll go to the deepest well. And they'll do all sorts of things, you see? And yet they never seek the living water. We've exampled these in Matthew 7. You remember, they'd done many wonderful works and cast out devils, etc. And all these things. But they lacked the one thing needed and that was the living water of Christ Jesus. The new birth. Most that I've encountered in this walk lack that. And I've met some really religious folks. But they don't have that well springing up in them. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, we're going to talk about that some. You say they have credentials, but they lack the heart. They lack the spirit. It's just not there. And this is another thing that I found out about religious people. I had an incident this past week. And I relate everything to music. We're going down the road, and somebody makes a comment, or I'm in a workplace, and it always brings back a line to a song to me. I'm a music guy. I like music. I like hearing music. And I was thinking of Bob Dylan. He wrote a song that they'll stone you when you're set down in your grave. And that's what religious people will do. And they'll stone you, and then they'll say, good luck. And he gives all these, they'll stone you. And they will. They tried. You know what they tried to do to the Lord? You know what they did to Paul? They stoned him. You see? And I had one, you might say, stone me this week. And all, so religious in the, I know this man, so religious in the work of the Lord. Some of you know him. Know anybody more religious? No, I don't. He's right up there with the most religious. Heard Brother James say once, by the way, the reason for that is because I believe God's sovereign. I believe in the sovereignty of a God, of God, and most especially in the matter of salvation, because salvation's of the Lord. We'll speak some on that. Now, I heard Brother James say one time that how can anyone doesn't believe in the sovereignty of God, the doctrine of election, go to heaven? If you don't believe God's sovereign in salvation, what else would there be? And I'm really starting to believe that. God's either sovereign or he's not. And free will is not sovereign, you see. God help us if man's in charge of who's going to heaven and hell. Because we just had an election. God help us if the people are going to decide, told a man this week, if men decide who's going to heaven, I don't want to go. I've already got a piece of that here. You see? We see living water will take care of that. It springs up into everlasting life. Salvations of the Lord. And it said, if you go to John chapter 1, verse 13, it said, who were born, listen, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He's talking about those, this living water, the new birth. Not of the will of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. That settles it for me. If there's no other, that settles it for me. And this man, I won't go into the details of what transpired, but I think the girl's comment was, she said, well, that's just ugly. And you know what? It is just ugly. And it lacks the living water. Now listen to what I'm telling you. It lacks the living water. Christians are many things, but ugly is not one of them. Living water won't allow it. You see. Living water creates a pure love of the brethren. You know how you know you've passed from death to life? 1 John chapter 3. You love the brethren. And it's supernatural water, or else it's not eternal. Now, I want you to think this morning, because everyone that's hearing me, you've got some religious experience. Every one of you. And I want you to consider all that you've encountered in religion. It's not so very hard as you might think to separate the natural from the supernatural. The living water from the natural well water. And when you, if you'll really stop and think, it's really not so hard to separate that thing, you see. The natural water of Jacob's well, though deep, there's something that separates that water from that living water that springs up again and again in a child of God. It's something totally different. Jesus said, if you'd known who you're talking to, he said, you'd been asking me for water. There's just something about the man or the woman that knows the Lord. There's something about them. You say, what is it? Living water. Spirit. It's a supernatural witness of the Spirit. And it circumvents creed, color, gender, denomination. Whether or not they were a drunkard or a harlot, whether or not they've been married like this woman five times, they've been divorced, whatever. It circumvents all of that. All the deeds of their natural life circumvents all of that, you see. Matter of fact, it's God's forgetfulness of their sins that sets them apart from all the rest. Because most, these religious people, they're looking for sins. They're looking for something that in a child of God doesn't exist. And we've read those verses. Read them last week, and we read them some weeks before that. You see. And if the Pharisees don't like your doctrine, if they just as soon stone or label you a heretic, I've learned you might belong to God. You might be a Christian. You know, back in Romans 2:14, I don't know if it was last week or the week before that we read this verse. When he said, for the Gentiles, amen, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these Gentiles, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. How glorious this living water. That's living water right there. You become a law unto yourself. Nobody has to tell me. Listen, nobody has to tell me right from wrong. I've got living water. You see? I'm one of these Gentiles. You see? I never had to step. Isn't it amazing? You get saved, you get living water, and all of a sudden you step into all these rules. Rules of man. We find that. Turn over to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 20 through verse 23. Wherefore, Paul said, if you've been dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not. Oh, you can't touch that. Taste not. You can't eat that. Handle not. You can't handle that. You shouldn't be around that. Which all are to perish with the using. After the commandments. Now look at it. After the commandments and doctrines of men. They'll stone you. They'll stone you. Which things have indeed a shew of worship. Of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now hear me. There are no second class Christians. If you're in Christ, we all receive the same living water. What do you think that? Do we have different Holy Ghosts? Do we have different living water? Perhaps the dose is different, depending on our growth. He said springing up into eternal life. But there are no second-class Christians. And there's only one unforgivable sin. Just one. The blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. I should like to give you what I consider a great wisdom. I should have known it long before now. A great miracle of life in Christ Jesus. Even to this Samaritan woman who'd had five husbands and was living with a sixth guy. But Jesus offering her living water. God help her if she goes to a Baptist church. You see, it's the miracle of Christ himself. You folks know me. I've preached Romans 7 many, many times. And I've used the illustration. Do you remember that woman in Romans 7? And how she became in the early verses of Romans 7, how'd she become free? Her first husband died, right? You remember that? She was finally set free upon the death of her first husband. Turn back to Romans 7. Let's look at it again. Now look at verse 1 and verse 2. He said, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law." And that, so he said, "Know ye not, brethren." He's talking to the Jews there. "Speak to them that know the law." This letter's to the Romans, but he's speaking to the Jews. Okay? The stoners. "How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband." Okay? Now look at verse 3. "So then, if her husband liveth, and she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." You see it? Now, do you have any idea at all how glorious this is? In truth, for those who are his, who are Christ, this husband, most incredibly, is the man, Christ Jesus. And I've preached this many, many times, and I never saw that. And you have to get that. My mind just couldn't work that direction, you see. Because you remember, he died. He died. As dead as any in the graveyard. They put him in the grave. Can you understand the miraculous grace in this? When that first husband died, that I'm now finally, eternally free. Free of the law of sin and death. Glory, hallelujah. Free. What'd he come save me from? My sins. Free! Because he died. Now look at verse 4 through verse 6. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ." Now why is that important? Because by the law, you and I are sinners, and we'd have to die and go to hell. We'd have no chance at eternal life. but that he, that first husband, died. That you should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead. Uh-oh, okay. But he raised. We're not going to go, but that you see that, okay? And that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, when we were, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You know the trouble with religious people, they can't let go of that letter. They need to learn that my first husband is dead and I'm free to remarry. You see? How many in religion know not that he became my sin or your sin? Not some of them. All of them. All of them. He not only died with them, he took them to hell where they belong. He went to hell. A lot of people say that's Catholic doctrine. No, that's Bible doctrine. I can truly say to the church folk, the religious Pharisees, ye worship ye know not what. But we know what we worship. Those that are in Christ. Nobody has to tell me what I worship. Because I didn't learn this by man. I'm so grateful that Christ came to save Samaritans who've had five husbands. I'm so grateful. So grateful. And replace that natural water with living water. That he came to save sinners of whom I am chief. I'm so grateful. Now, a lot of folks, they'll preach a doctrine similar to this, but then they go back and they use it for a license to sin. I don't need a license to sin. He did. Dead. So if you've not been to Jacob's well, not for the natural, but for the living water, then perhaps you're none of his. So stop thinking about all the going down in the well and the religious things that you might or might not do. And let that living water spring up in you. Let it come up into everlasting life. That you might be free, truly free, in Christ Jesus. See? That first husband died that I could be free. He became sin, didn't he? Yeah. He died. That woman with five husbands living with a sixth. Brand new life. Quit throwing rocks at her. Quit stoning her. Quit being ugly. This is how you know you pass from death to life. That you love the brethren.